Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is June 5th, 2014. I'm Jeff Gamet, and I have with me again today, because they can't run fast enough to get away, John Martellaro. Hey, John.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. And the ever recognizable giggle of Kelly Gumont. Hey,
Kelly. Hi, Jeff.
So, yeah, really. Everyone at home thinking, oh, yeah, just a figure of speech. They couldn't run fast enough. It's true. They couldn't.
Really?
Yeah. So I thought we'd start off with a topic that that I know I got kind of excited about, and you did too, Kelly. And it's the news that Netflix is abandoning Silverlight for video streaming on the Mac when OS X Yosemite comes out.
It is forsaken. I'm so excited.
I'm pretty excited too. And it makes me very happy because I have never watched Netflix streaming on my Mac because I don't want Silverlight installed. Mm-hmm. I have installed Silverlight in the past on secondary machines. And while I know some people have no trouble with it, it was nothing but a bucket of hurt for me. It just simply never worked right.
It only ever gave me two things, grief and heartache. Never Netflix, just so, grief
Silverlight,
and heartache.
Silverlight always worked well for me. I have watched Netflix on my iMac, and Silverlight never seemed to be much of a problem, nor did it have the constant security headaches in my recollection that Flash did. But one day I decided I wasn't going to have Flash on any of my computers anymore. And I did some house cleaning, and I thought, it's time to get Silverlight out of there, too, because we watch it on iPad, Netflix on iPad, and we watch it on Apple TV. So why should this scandalous piece of software even be on my Mac anymore? But I never really had any trouble with it.
Am I wrong in assuming that pretty much the only thing Mac users ever use Silverlight for was Netflix?
Yeah.
I can't think of anything else that implements it, whether it's a whether it's a site that I use or not. I can't think of anything else that uses Silverlight.
Yeah, neither can I. Apple's push away from the proprietary media formats like Flash, I think, has extended to Silverlight. And I think it's not just Apple anymore that's pushing away from these proprietary systems. I think everyone is really getting all hot and bothered in a good way about HTML5 and PHP and CSS.
I think you're right.
Well, remember people kept telling us, oh, but you can totally have Flash on mobile anyway if you just had Android. And remember how they kept announcing phones that were going to support Flash and we kept not seeing actual phones that supported Flash?
I remember that now. Yes.
Yes. There's actually... a few years ago, I was on a podcast with several people, including one or two people from Adobe, and we were talking about mobile Flash, and they were just adamant that it works. And what I said was, okay, then let's prove it. I will put my iPhone on the line. You let me install this this version of Flash that you guys say that you have working in the labs. Let's put it on my iPhone and let's see how it runs. Crickets.
And?
Yeah. So, anyhow, yes, I'm thinking that Silverlight being ditched for Netflix, this probably is a big step towards the end of Silverlight.
I think it's a strong statement about the success of Apple and the success of iOS, too, because in the earlier times, before the iPad came out, we had to have these extensions, and the technology was less sophisticated. And Reed Hastings, who sits on the board of Microsoft, was responsible for this Silverlight process. As we just said, as time goes on, has gone on, and the momentum of Apple and its products. It's a strange idea to look back and think about these plugins that screwed things up. It's an old idea now. It's remarkable how fast that's become sort of a silly thing to do.
Yes. That's been what I've been impressed by, is the speed at which some of that stuff has been forsaken for something like HTML5, which is plain old HTML. And the beautiful thing about that is I think that there's probably enough people, enough developers, enough organizations out there who are finally coming around to the thinking that, you know, if we really just made things standard compliant, because this is the drum that I've beat for years, if we made everything HTML standard compliant or HTML5 compliant or CSS compliant, if we just design to the accepted standard that is out there for all the world to use, we don't have to fight with all these browsers. We don't have to fight with why Chrome looks weird. We don't have to do any special jiggery pokery for Internet Explorer. And it's finally starting to take. And I think that things like Silverlight that extend proprietariness to other things are falling by the wayside as a result of that. And I couldn't be more excited. And if I were a web developer, I would probably be even more excited because more folks embracing HTML5 means more folks embracing HTML5.
Well, Kelly, remember the issue here was DRM. Flash and Silverlight provided the DRM the content providers insisted on. Mm-hmm. Whereas when HTML5 was first envisioned, it did not have DRM capability, and that came later. So that's what slowed down HTML5, because Silverlight and Flash did provide that in the early days.
Mm-hmm. Now, there is another component that was missing that was really critical, which is that the Mac architecture, meaning OS X, wasn't at a point, even with Mountain Lion and Mavericks, to support the high bandwidth streaming that Netflix needs. So they were in a position where they were reliant on other plugins to handle that process. With the pending introduction of Yosemite, that changes. And Apple's video architecture is much more robust and has all the right hooks in it to be able to handle the type of streaming that Netflix demands. So
now, that's interesting to me because that what we've seen for system requirements for Yosemite goes back really far. So they've done something within the software to further maximize the hardware that you have, whether that hardware was bought a month ago, a year ago, 5 years ago.
I'm going to toss this out there just to see if I get a ooh. That same technology that Apple is rolling into Yosemite for the better bandwidth. Mm-hmm. That's also in iOS 8. So imagine that being rolled out in an update to Apple TV.
Ooh.
That's kind of what I figured. Yeah.
That has a lot of appeal to it, I think.
It does. And I'm just going to drop that right there for everyone to think about. And I'm going to hop back to Yosemite because we keep going back to that. You guys were both like really hot and bothered and excited about Yosemite stuff this morning when we were in our morning meeting.
Yes.
And I want to know what's up with that.
Well, what got me started was the idea that I was going to start assessing the features, giving them grades or A, B, or C, or reflecting on what I thought was strong in Yosemite and what maybe Apple was deflected from. Because sometimes, you know, Apple goes overboard on new fancy features in OS X, but sometimes they don't attend to some of the little details that Unix purists want to see attended to. So I started thinking about that. And then Kelly and I started talking about how Apple is continuing to maintain the character of OS X. IOSification fears are disappearing. We're seeing commonality and functionality, and the two are playing nicely together with handoff. But the character of this Unix operating system is being maintained. And then the discussion went on from there. And Kelly, what did you feel about that?
What I'm excited about with this is, because this is sort of the thing that's been on my mind a lot. I always talk about how if people would be technologically honest with themselves, there are a lot of people who have spent, you know, $200-$300 up at the Walmart for a Toshiba something or other that's on a screaming deal and come home with some laptop that's hard for them to use, that's complicated, but they feel like they have to have a computer. And I think there's been a combination of demystifying, or what I've called the utilitization of computers, where it's not a special event anymore to have a computer or to get one or even get a second one. It's a very compressed version of the evolution we saw of like TVs and microwaves, where like it was a special event, you know, to get to use the microwave. Like when I was a kid and we had a microwave, when we first got it, like my mom wouldn't let us near it, you know, cause she didn't want it broken cause it was expensive. And now like it's not a big deal. Like we've considered, I live in a 2-story house now. We have like a little bar area downstairs and it's been like, well, maybe we should just throw a microwave down here. You know, and then we could have like a guest area and like, you know, if somebody was staying here, they'd have like the coffee maker and the microwave and that'd be good, you know.
But is it a PC microwave?
But
what I'm thinking is that Apple is cashing in on this post-PC era. They see their iPads cannibalizing the PC. They see the PC failing for all the reasons, the right reasons. The Mac is succeeding and the right reasons for the PC failing. It's worthwhile to continue to carve a piece out of this PC market. Remember what Steve Jobs said, the Macs and the PCs are the trucks, and Apple's going to continue to make the coolest trucks while the rest of the trucks drive over a cliff.
And the thing that I think is interesting about that is that, you know, like the iPad has been around long enough and people are sort of finally being honest with themselves now that megahertz isn't the thing that sells computers anymore, and realizing like a number of people in my family, when their sometimes excruciatingly old computer finally is on its last legs and they realize it's on its last legs, are looking at the iPad and going, you know, I get email. I send and receive email. I like to look at Facebook. I like to play solitaire. And I need to be able to bank. I need to be able to do my banking stuff. Okay, well, here's the app for your bank. You can do Facebook through this app. And here I can help you set up your email and you can look at any web page you want. And anybody that wants to send you pictures, they can send them to you. It's not a big deal. And they went to the iPad and they're super happy with it. The battery life is great. It doesn't reboot all the time. It doesn't need security updates every time you open it. So they're totally happy with it. And I think that for a lot of people, that has become a very attractive option. But for people who are still using a full computer, something with a physical keyboard attached to it in some fashion.
The keyboard. That's the deal, Kelly. I was thinking about that this morning. We're still bound. If you're a writer and you're thinking about writing a novel, you know, you're going to curl up with a MacBook Air and you've got a first class keyboard and you've got great editing tools. You've got things like Scrivener or Ulysses to write your novel or something like that. Until we have a Star Trek class voice dictation system with an intelligent agent who can talk to us, you know, in the way we need to and can absorb our text, we're going to be tied to that keyboard. I envision in the future, someday we're going to have a device that will replace the Macs, and the iPads will grow. You know, this new mechanism for communication between the iOS apps for content and functions, I see as one step along the path of making the iOS devices our device of choice. And when I can sit with an iPad in my lap and really talk to it the way I want to talk to it and dictate my articles without having to sit with a keyboard, then maybe, you know, the Macintosh will start to dissipate. But until then, you've got 80 million people out there. They love their Macs. They like the way they work with their Macs. Even though there's 800 million iOS devices out there, Apple's got a strong core of fanatic people who love their Macs. So the Yosemite shows that Apple's appreciating that and maintaining that. That's a lifeline.
When people are concerned about merging iOS and macOS, I think this is the merge where we have this service now, this functionality called handoff, where I can start an email on my iPad and I can wander off because shiny thing. And then when I come back and I'm at my computer will go, hey, you started this email, you won't finish it. And the smoothness of that experience, the way they demoed it on stage, which is very Apple-like, and it's a really great experience. That to me is them is the merge that people have been afraid of. I've been afraid of it.
Tell me, Kelly, seriously,
for a while.
How seriously are you interested in starting an email on your Mac and then going off to the recliner with your iPad and continuing email? I mean, you know, that's an example of something that can be done with Handoff, maybe because Handoff is, you know, just starting to emerge. But really, seriously, I don't really see myself doing that. When I focus on an email, I'm completely focused. I'm not going to change devices.
Well, it's awesome that you are totally focused. I have, like, the phone rings, somebody comes to the door, usually probably what will happen is I will start it on my phone while I'm in line at something because I just remembered I needed to email this person, but then I can finish it and flesh it out on my computer without having completely forgotten that I wrote that email. So that to me is a very exciting feature. And I really like that, they're just making it more obvious that the clear choice, if you're going to buy another computer to go with your phone or your tablet, is to get a Mac. And this is just another reason that it's great.
Here's the scenario. You start an email on your Mac, and then you realize you need to walk to Starbucks. So you leave the office, and you continue writing the email as you walk to Starbucks, and then you get run over by a bus. All over.
But thanks to Find My Friends, everyone knows exactly where your body's located.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're out of time. And John, I totally get what you're saying about the jumping around for email doesn't make sense for a lot of people. But Kelly, I think you also nailed a really important point, which is that Apple's convergence isn't the same operating system across devices, but access to all the content, no matter what device you're on. And I think that's it right there.
Yeah, I can go with that too.
Thank you very much for joining me yet again today. You guys rock. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the next time I can smash you guys together and just see what kind of words pour out.
All right. See you next time.